Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, this is Brian, and I have an incredible guest today. His name is Brian Kurz, and he is a direct marketer. And so we're going to dive into what does direct marketing mean as opposed to indirect marketing. Anyways, Brian, how you doing today, man?
I'm good. I like that indirect marketing. It's interesting that direct marketing, what it means today is different, but it shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I always say direct response marketing, because some people today, with everything being online, assume direct marketing is only direct mail. And while it was when I started in the business in 1981, direct marketing hasn't changed. But I call it direct response marketing because I think there's a lot of people out there that misinterpret direct marketing as only direct mail. And it's much more than that. It's measurable marketing in any medium. So that to start off there, I think is a good spot.
That is a great spot. And thanks for doing that definition so people understand the difference. So anyways, I want people to get to know you better. You're in the East Coast and... you're not in the East Coast, you're on the East Coast. And way back yonder when you were a kid, you used to be an umpire calling balls and strikes for $5 a game. But now you're striking gold with direct response marketing. So tell us how you went from doing that to doing what you're doing today.
Well, it's interesting because I've made a lot of money now because I get $90 a game. So $5 to $90 is a nice raise. But besides that, umpiring is something that's it's not that weird that I did that as a kid and I became the umpire in chief of the Little League where I grew up. But umpiring today is interesting because it's just a great focus on something that has nothing to do with direct marketing. And it's just if I'm calling balls and strikes at a varsity high school game and my mind drifts to direct marketing, I'm going to miss a pitch and then I'm going to get yelled at. So that's one thing. But more importantly, I think I have a chapter in my book on customer service and fulfillment. And I maintain that customer service and fulfillment is a marketing function because it's much easier to keep a customer than to get a new one. And so to take really good care of your audience, of your best customers and all of that is really what umpiring is about. And it's interesting in fulfillment and customer service, if everything goes right, no one hears about you. You're in the background, you're just doing your job. And if you make a mistake or if someone has a bad experience with you, all hell breaks loose. And the same is true for an umpire. You know, the key to be a great umpire is that they don't notice you. And the minute they notice you, you're in trouble because someone is pissed off. And so a very important part of direct marketing, important enough for me to devote a whole chapter in my book about it.
So let's kind of define, you know, what's the difference between, you know, direct marketing from way back yonder to where it's at today? Because you hear all these people, I'm a big fan of a lot of different technologies and different techniques. I'm, you know, the Russell Brunson funnel marketing thing and the Gary Vaynerchuk, curse your way to success, whatever it is that you want to do. But the key thing is that marketing is marketing. I mean, there's some basic principles and there's some new techniques. And what's the difference between the principles and techniques?
Yeah. So the thing is, it's always about the idea and not the techniques. And what I mean by that, the techniques are really important, but the key is to have a great idea, a great list, a great offer, a great piece of creative, and then you adapt it by technique into different media. In fact, that's how I organize my mastermind. It's basically a multi-channel approach to marketing. So if I, in fact, I have a, I just pulled something out from Jeff Walker, who invented product launch formula. He wrote a a blurb from my first book, The Advertising Solution. And he said, when I started my first online business back in 1996, I quickly realized it was a direct marketing business. And that one distinction has made all the difference. And there was virtually no one teaching online marketing back then. So I went back to old school direct marketing to learn the craft. And so the principles and the things that make everything online work today are all based on basic direct marketing. And it's interesting because it's stuff that you maybe some online marketers don't even know they're doing, but they're doing it because it's fundamental, like RFM, recency, frequency, and monetary value. It's a basic rule of thumb in direct marketing, but it's also a way how people buy and how people behave and human nature. You know, if someone bought something more recently, they're more likely to buy again. If they bought more frequently, they're more likely to buy again. If they're recent and frequent, they're more likely to buy even more so in the future. And then if they paid more money to you, they're going to spend more money with you if you have a good offer and good creative. So it there's a lot of elements to it, but it's basically, you know, it's just what it's not. It's not general advertising. It's not, you know, I'm going to do an ad and get you to come into my store with no incentive, no call to action. And that's general advertising that, you know, or you come into a restaurant. I mean, people still do a lot of that. I mean, you see it all over TV, but it's not necessarily measurable. You can't measure the response to what you're doing. And that's the beauty of direct marketing, that everything you do, every media you buy, everything you write or send an email, everything you launch, every funnel you put together, that at some point it's got to pay out. And if it doesn't pay out, you got to revise it, you got to change it, you got to tweak it. And you can't go too far down the road losing money and saying, well, I'm getting good response, but you're not getting your money back. You know, you have to pay a certain amount on your media and eventually get it back in a reasonable amount of time that doesn't make you go bankrupt, basically. And that's the beauty of direct marketing. What's interesting about what, you know, the olden days and where it is today is that I started in 1981. There was no internet. We did almost everything in direct mail, print, radio, TV. Mm-hmm. And so when I went out with direct mail, I knew that it had to pay out. I mean, I was spending a lot of money on postage and printing and all of that, so that when the internet came along, a couple of things happened. One thing was that a lot of people from my generation gave up. They said, this is too complicated. I don't know what a funnel is. I know how to sell, upsell and cross sell, but what's this thing about a funnel? And what's this thing about product launch formula? And what's this thing about whatever? I went the opposite way. I said, look, I've got a really good educational base in direct mail and TV and radio and print. How am I going to translate that onto the internet? So I just joined mastermind groups with internet marketing, and I just went in as a student. I had a PhD in direct mail and some of those forms. I was in elementary school on the internet, but I knew that the internet, particular, all the elements, whether it's email, whether it's display advertising, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram, whatever, I knew that it was the ultimate direct response medium. And you got responses faster, you could get statistically significant tests done quicker, you can do a lot of different things in a lot of different media. I mean, back when I was doing it, you had, you know, just basic media. Today, advertising, you know, advertising opportunities, I'll say, are infinite. And so you've got to be really skilled in your numbers. I was not a numbers person, but I always had a numbers person next to me to make sure that I wasn't going too far afield when I was doing direct marketing online. But it's all direct marketing. It really is. Now, how does this apply to that? How does this, you know, move forward the business online versus offline? And there's something in my book I wrote that I called it O to O to O, which is offline to online to offline. And what all that means is that it's a mix. It's like you want to toggle between online and offline all the time based on where your customers are. You want to meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. It might be always online. If you can get their mailing address, which you can if you sell by credit card, you can then send them direct mail. Or because people are still checking their mail, and direct mail results are still really good to a targeted audience, but you do it on the back end of an online business. And it's very powerful that way. I wouldn't do, you know, it depends on the business. I wouldn't go out with direct mail as a first way to, you know, to go to quote unquote cold traffic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but you want to be able to use every medium at your disposal that would be relevant to your potential audience. I think I got the answer to your question.
You did. And you also raised another question. And that is something I call, or you've heard of, called BSOS, Bright Shiny Object Syndrome. So, you know, some people say, hey, Facebook ads are the way to go. You know, Google ads, LinkedIn ads, Instagram ads, you know, try this, do this. You got to know how to do a funnel. You have to do this stuff. But I think what's missing from the core of all this, and I actually interviewed somebody, she was 23 years old, talking about Facebook ads. And she said that the average person that she works with spends $500,000 a year on Facebook ads. And I said, really? And she goes, yeah. But the reason they do it is because foundationally, they have everything else built and tested. And all they're doing is trying to optimize the ability to reach their audience. And they turn every dollar into $3. So they're willing to spend the money to do it. So whether you're spending $500 or $500,000, the concept's the same. So talk about, you know, what is the most basic concept in getting your message out that people are probably bypassing because they're playing with the tools, but they're not really putting out the right messages to be successful?
Yeah, that's a big one. So I've got a bunch of things on that. Certainly, if someone's spending $500,000 on Facebook, it's working. But don't put all your dollars into Facebook, because Facebook has their own rules. And I know a lot of people who have been shut down and then they're out of business. So you have to diversify. One thing that I would tell you that Perry Marshall, I think you know, and he's a good friend of mine, and he has something called, that he calls Maze 2.0, M-A-Z-E 2.0. And what Maze 2.0 says is that you have a grid. You make a cross grid, and you have on the horizontal axis, you have live versus recorded. And on the other one, you have, we'll call it online versus offline. And you could put any medium in any of those four quadrants, right? You remember, you have two lines and then you have four quadrants. And you can put any medium in one of those quadrants. If it's something that's live and offline, that's a live event. If you've got something that's live and online, it could be a Facebook Live. Okay, to just give you examples. And so Perry plotted every medium in one of those four quadrants. And so that would give you a big shiny object problem, because everything looks good, right? When you see it on that. But I think what you need to do then is to look at your product, look at the list you can get, because the list is still the most important thing. There are three elements of any direct marketing campaign, online or offline. It's list, offer, and creative. And to me, the list is the most important. It used to be a 40-20 rule, which was that the success of a campaign was 40% list, 40% offer, 20% creative. I made it the 41-39-20 rule just to make sure that everybody knows that with the right list, you can have any offer and any creative and still get some money out of it. Whereas if you have a good offer and great creative with a list that's not targeted, you're not going to make any business, do any business. So the key is to get the list right. Then you get a really solid offer. And then the creative is not half as important that it's 20%, but then you go after the best creative. And then you got the three-legged stool working for you at the highest level. And when you look at going back to Maze 2.0, if you could pick like a couple, no more than one or two media in each of those four quadrants, you won't be everywhere, but you'll look like you're everywhere. You won't have shiny object syndrome, and you'll have researched all the different media, not crazy, because that's shiny object. You have to research it and say, how does my offer play in email? How does it play on Facebook? How does it play at a live event? How does it play in direct mail? And then you kind of test it out. You just look at it and to me, that, I mean, it sounds easy. It's not easy. I mean, you have to really do the work here. But that's the way you can avoid shiny object. You can pick the media that is most applicable to your product. And at the same time, you can really target your messages because you've done the list work in advance, that you can get the right list. You know, Facebook, for example, they do lookalike models, which is great. You know, you can take your list, match it, get some data, and then run a lookalike model on Facebook. What's funny about that, I did a podcast a couple of years ago, this is in my book too, where some guy did this podcast. He was very good, like you. He asked me a lot of good questions, and he wanted me to go deep on modeling. It's for direct mail. Modeling, regression modeling on direct mail, which is very complicated. You know, you have to mail a section of the list. You have to get the responses that you lose money on. But because you have the data on those names, you take the data you have and go out to the bigger universe in direct mail, and you basically find names that look like the ones that already responded. That's not a lookalike model. That's a regression model. A lookalike model is not as good, but it's something. And that's what Facebook does. So I did this whole thing. I'm not going to go into more detail than that. But suffice it to say that he put the interview on Facebook, and somebody chimed in on it and said, wow, this interview with Brian Kurtz is so good. I thought Facebook invented lookalike models. And I'm thinking to myself, God, you know, it's what's going on online today is so related to everything I've done for 40 years. And yet there still needs to be some education about what's the difference between a lookalike model and a regression model. You can't do a regression model really on Facebook, but you can learn from what we did in the regression modeling on indirect mail and adapt it to your lookalike model to make it even deeper and better suited for your offer. So basically, I've handled the shiny object question. I've handled what media you go into, and it's not just Facebook. But I also want to emphasize that you have to test intensely in various media, and you need to test as little as possible until you find out if there's a business there, and then move on. Because if you just sink too much money, and it sounds like you're the guy that you were talking to, they got there the right way, and they did it with probably direct response marketing testing. You know, there's another element that's really important, which is single variable testing. In direct mail, if you have two packages that you're mailing against each other and they're similar, and you want to test price and you want to test headline, that's two tests. Because if you test both at the same time, you're not going to know which one worked or didn't work. So in online marketing, unless you're going out with something completely different, you're just tweaking the control or the package that's working, you've got to do single variable testing, especially on things like price and things like headline and subject line and all of that kind of stuff. So that's a big one for online marketers to really get a hold of and to get really solid testing reliability in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the concept of A/B testing is something that I don't think enough people play around with. And the fact, I think what you said was really good, again, is that, you know, you have the list, you have the offer, and then you have the creative. And you can A/B test a list, you can A/B test a creative, you can A/B test the offer.
Right.
But you don't want to do all three at the same time.
Absolutely.
So let's dig into, we understand, I mean, the bottom line is your list. You're going to create a list. I'm sure you've got some great ideas on how to do that. We probably don't have time to dig into that.
Well, I'll tell you one quick thing, though. I'm not a big fan of affiliate marketing as the only way to go, mm-hmm. but that is a real shortcut. If you can find affiliates to at least launch your offer, then that's one way to do it, especially if it's someone who's got a list that's very related to your product and they don't necessarily compete directly.
Right. And a lot of people will jump on somebody because they have a big list saying, hey, I can get, you know, a ton of names. It's not the names. It's the quality that matches towards what you do. So that's one of the things. Yeah.
100%.
So again, the offer,
good point.
You know, I talked to a guy the other day, he was offering, you know, basically he's a psychologist who does content marketing and has a group, and does all this stuff. And he says, oh, I was thinking, you know, in these times, maybe I'd offer a little bit of, you know, one-on-one call psychologically. And I said, hey, you know, offer it at 47, offer it at 97, see what people do. And he came back to me and said, you know, hey, I got one at 97. Oh, I got one at 47. Oop, I got another at 47. Oop, I got another at 97.
Yes.
You know, he was bouncing all over the place. He didn't get any great feedback, but he got a bunch of sales, you know, like it worked out great. But the creative is probably the place where most people suffer, because they either overdo it, underdo it, or don't understand the value of it. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree. But and also they see, like with an affiliate, for instance,
mm-hmm.
They have an affiliate list that's really targeted. They have an offer that's really good. And they think, you know, a flashing red arrow with a red box is good creative because they have everything else dialed in. And again, they will make some money doing that. But if they can then dial in on the creative and the messaging, and even if it's an affiliate that they can supply the creative, whether by themselves, if they know their product well with a copywriter, that's going to explode your results. So it's like I often say that, you know, the creative is the least important part of a promotion until it's not. And that means that you totally focus on list and offer first, and then you just totally dive into the creative. And I'll give you an example that in direct mail for our business at Boardroom, we the biggest lifts in results that I ever got was from a completely new creative package by a completely different copywriter. So that's basically saying that the creative is the most important thing. But that package was beating some other package by a wide margin. And that other package had already established the list universe and an offer that was pretty good. And this new copywriter came up with a completely different approach. And once you did that, those were the biggest lifts I ever got. I mean, I got, you know, anywhere from 30% to, you know, 200% lifts in response from the creative. I never got anywhere near 100% lift by just the price or just a headline or just one thing. I got 20 and 30% from that, but never the big lifts. So that probably tells you where I'm at. I've worked with like the best copywriters who've ever lived in my career, which I'm blessed by, and I've learned so much from them. In fact, I became partners with my copywriters. I became, you know, joined at the hip with my copywriters because they were the most important, basically the most important employees of my company, even though they were not employees. And they sometimes made the most money
right.
than any employee in the company, including myself, because of royalties and all that. So you can see my emphasis on creative is huge, but it's after you have your list and offer,
right.
or at least your list is all set. I mean, we prided ourselves on being the best list researchers, list segmenters. And when I look at something like what Ryan Levesque is doing with his quiz funnels, it's basically list segmentation on steroids. And I love that. I mean, I became a student of Ryan's as soon as Ask came out. This guy's got it together. And I even once spoke on a stage right after him. I'm going to tell you about stuff from 1981 that's relevant, but he's got it going on. He's taken it and just run with it and just been so amazing at it.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite books is Ask. If you haven't checked that out, peeps, definitely go take a look for that with Ryan Levesque. So let me summarize basically what we've said, and then I want to give people a chance to get a hold of you because we could talk for days. I know we could. You know,
yes,
both being East Coasters, man, we can go on forever.
Exactly.
But so number one, the list is the most important thing. And what you're really saying is the better targeted the list, whether it's an email list, because when people hear list, they think email. But it's also, you know, the people that you're communicating inside of social media, if you're doing Facebook ads or LinkedIn ads or Google, whatever it is. It's targeting, is how do you target the right people? The second thing is the offer. The offer has to be in a place where people are willing to buy or bought before and are willing to rebuy. So the offer is the second piece. And then the third major piece is you have to be able to be willing to spend the money to do great creative because it's going to give you a return on investment. So the biggest, I think, takeaway from this is don't try to, you know, save money by doing cheese ball copy. If you can get a really good offer squared away up front, then get the copy in there and make sure that people are getting the best possible message so that you can maximize your return on investment.
Yes, very, very good summary. But that wasn't all we talked about, but that was good. Thank you for that, Brian.
You're welcome. No, thank you. Thank you for the great stuff. So, Brian, if people wanted to get to know you better, get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, the best way would be to buy my book, but not just because you don't go to Amazon first. Where you go is www.overdeliverbook.com. And the interesting thing is that you also get on my list, and I blog every Sunday. It's all content. So that's if you want to pay $17 and follow me. If you're too cheap and you don't want to spend $17 and get a copy of my book and all of those bonuses, just go to briankurtz.net, www.briankurtz.net, B-R-I-A-N-K-U-R-T-Z. You go there, and then you'll be on my list, and it doesn't cost you anything. And I hope that folks from this that listen to this interview want to hear more from me. And if you don't, I hope this was useful for them as well.
Well, all I can say, it was useful for me. So, hey, Brian, man, thanks for joining us. You dropped some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. And I hope to get you back on again because, man, I know we could dig into each one of these subjects with a lot more details. So thanks again, man, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Brian.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.